You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
God's word this morning. So would you pray with me? Lord, we are excited to talk about our identity. We are excited to talk about who we are. Lord, I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand up here today and just listen to your word. Lord, as we open up the Bible, as we talk about topics that can be hard for culture and us to reconcile with right now, Lord, I pray that we would just remember, be reminded to trust you, that we would be reminded to surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I want to start off by talking a little bit about my son, Liam, who's one of my favorite people. And if you know me, you know my son. And by the way, I didn't really introduce, my name's Pastor Ryan Eggly. I'm our next gen pastor. That's why you hear me talk about young people all the time, because that's kind of my deal. My son actually made this for me this morning. He was coloring and he said, Dad, I wanted to give you a good luck thing. And he kind of gave it to me and said, put it in your binder. And I was really excited about that because I was like, but I get to like start the sermon kind of by talking about you because one of Liam's new favorite things right now is a film. He, even though he's not really watched any of the movies, he is obsessed with this film series. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Star Wars. It's very popular in Liam's world right now because we did go to Disneyland a couple years ago. He got a lightsaber, and now he believes he is a Jedi most of the days of the week, which I'm not going to tell him you're not, but I have told him he's not. But I was thinking about Star Wars because he likes to play with his lightsaber a lot as I was prepping for this week, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, Star Wars is such a great example of identity, right? This is a very popular film series, and if you look at it, in almost every movie, you have someone or someone across multiple movies struggling to figure out who they are. You have someone who is going through trial after trial to try and become who they're meant to be. And if you look at Luke Skywalker, for instance, he takes time to learn the truth about who really, this is what I love about Star Wars, until he really learns who his father was, he was not able to become who he was meant to be. Does that sound like maybe anyone you know right now? We literally are living the story. Like Star Wars copied the Bible, guys. So once we learn who the truth of who our father is, we begin this journey of becoming who we are meant to be. What's funny about this too, that scene in Star Wars is if you've never heard of like the "No, Luke, I am your father" line, if you've been living in a bubble for the last like 30 years, 40 years now, I don't know, 50 years? I don't know, guys. I'm not that old though. The line that was spoken where Darth Vader, spoiler alert here if you don't know, says, "Luke, I am your father." They had to bring in the next movie in Return of the Jedi, the character who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke's like master who trained him, they had to bring his character back into the next movie, and he's dead, by the way, as a ghost to tell Luke, like, no, he really is your dad, because audiences did not believe it. I didn't see this movie live, but if you were there and you watched it, you tell me, like, I believed it or I didn't, but the general consensus was that audiences thought Darth Vader was lying to Luke and trying to trick him, and that there's no possible way Darth Vader could be Luke's father, so they had to bring a guy back to be like, no, Luke, trust me, like, he actually is your dad. But think about this, sometimes we also, like, we can see the reality of God so clearly, and we still question it. We can see the reality of who our father is so clearly, and we still question it. And sometimes we need someone to sit us down that we look up to like a mentor and say, like, no, listen to the words your father has said. And so these past two Sundays, our worship ministry director, Shannon Rance, she really did guide us on a really amazing, sublime journey, as you could say, where she took us through how we were made in God's image. Looking at our gendered, how we were created and gendered beings and how we were created in our sexuality that God has given to us. And I loved what she said last week. This is what stuck out to me the most. That if you haven't listened to these messages, I really encourage you, go listen to them. They are worth it. She said about intimacy and its complexity going just beyond, like way beyond just the physical. And how being intimate with that intimate relationship we can have with God, and how it's a reflection of our relationships with people, and it's not just a physical representation. And so today we're going to have another conversation about how we are created in his image. But after that wealth of knowledge we got from Shannon, I found myself thinking to myself, just sitting in one of these chairs, saying, how do I understand this? How do I understand it? I knew it was important for me to ask the question to myself, how do I find out who I am? I can look to God's word, that's evident, but how do I find out who I am? Our identity is within who we are, but how do we discover that? And I want to say, if you just boil it down to the most basic answer, truth is the answer. And there is a truth that has existed far beyond all created things in this world that we live in, and including ourselves. Truth is a constant fact, church, not a changeable entity. And when we discover truth, we discover our identity, and we discover who we truly are. And so the first thing, I'm going to do 3 points this sermon. They're pretty deep. We're going to talk about some issues that I'm really excited to talk about, but I want to let you know, if you have questions, please come feel free to talk to us afterwards, or me, or one of the prayer team members if you want prayer at the end of service, because this is, when we're getting down to our identity, it is in conflict with what culture might be saying today. And the first is this, is that we find out who we are when we experience God's truth. So how do we find out who we are? The first thing we need to do is we need to experience God's truth. And we have a culture that has shifted to say, tell your truth or speak your truth. And now listen, I want to say this through my Jesus gospel lens and my church, my Jesus upbringing. We can tell our story and we can tell others what is true about us through our experiences, but no one on earth gets to define what the truth is for themselves. Because the truth is not a what. In fact, the truth is a who. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets the Father but through him. Can someone say amen to that? For instance, something that is true about me right now, as I'm going to date myself, is I am 32 years old. Some of you guys are like, no way, I thought you were 26 with that baby face. I am 32 years old, and that is true about me, and I can't change that. And in 5 years, I'll be 37, pushing on 40, and I can't change that. No matter how hard I try, in 5 years, I won't be 32 anymore. I will, in fact, be 37. What is true about me right now can change, but the truth of who I am does not. Jesus does not change, and our truth is shaped by our experiences. And when we experience Jesus, our experiences can finally line up with the truth. I'm going to be saying the word truth a lot in this sermon, so just get used to it. The fact that Jesus does not change makes it so that we have the opportunity to change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. You'll find it plastered on the walls in this building everywhere because we really love that verse. In his image, we have become made new, and our experiences or our truth begin to line up with the truth. We all have stories or experiences or truths that we tell. But God is not moved by our stories, our experiences, or our truth, church. Instead, we are moved forward by his stories, his experiences, and his truth. God has written a story that covers all of human history. If you look at God's word, it starts at the beginning, and we're still going to the end. We're still pushing into the book of Revelation, like Grace was mentioning this morning in worship. We're not quite to the end of human history yet. And he has written this huge story, and you and I are written into his story. His story is bigger and more grand and more wonderful than our story. The one that we have to tell, the only thing that makes it good is Jesus' involvement in it. We face dangers when we begin to compare our story or the stories of others to ourselves. And when we compare to others who we do not even know what they have experienced, this is where there's a dangerous thing going on right now in our world where it is so easy to compare ourselves to someone else. Because we may post a picture somewhere, but someone else might post a picture and it looks much better than ours or much more put together than ours. Or their story or the video they post makes it seem like they have it so great. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. So people who would commend themselves and build themselves up, we do not dare classify or compare ourselves with them. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And we live in a time and a generation where we have so much knowledge that we have accessible to us, but shockingly very little understanding. Okay, Shannon spoke on this last week. She was talking about understanding and the wealth of knowledge we have. And she also said, I mean, we live in a time where there is so much sex, but shockingly very little intimacy. We're really good at showing how fun something can be, but we're really bad at showing how important it is or how to do it well. This is a time where people have thrown away the value of a deep understanding and exchanged it for surface level knowledge and facts. This means anyone can be exposed to wisdom, right? But they lack the ability to understand the truth of that wisdom. Because information and wisdom is so accessible, we have thrown away the value of seeking out wisdom from wise people. And we have now surrendered to AI telling us what truth is, or even doing the job for us. No joke, I thought I would test it. There's a program called ChatGPT, which is an AI program, and I typed up, write me a message on identity, just to see what it would do, and it was pretty crazy. I do not recommend, if you're trying to write like a sermon about God, do not let a robot do it for you. Fun fact, no, I'm just kidding. I was gonna say, this is that sermon. No, it's not. Do not let a robot that knows nothing about the intimate relationship that you have with God write something for you. We cannot measure ourselves by ourselves or by those who would do the same as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, it was saying, because I am not a good measuring stick. Like, I will be the first to say, I will not measure up. No matter how deeply I try to build myself up or commend myself and say, look at my accomplishments, you can't compare yourself to me. I can't compare myself to you. It's not safe. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is how we walk through this. We have to realize that a renewing of our mind and our thought process and our understanding is necessary, right? Renew your mind. That does not mean continue to fill it with the stuff you're currently allowing to occupy your mind. Church, we have to get into the Word of God. We have to get away from scrolling on Instagram. We have to get away from scrolling on and watching funny videos on TikTok. We have to get away from memes that, yeah, they're funny, but most of the time have nothing to do with God. The biggest thing that our church and the culture we can press into culture is we can renew the minds of people. And I'm not saying social media is bad or being on social media is bad by any means, but when all we put into our minds is this, we are not going to be leading or loving from a place of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be leading and loving from a place of the last thing we saw on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat for kids who want to keep their streaks up. I don't know. We must learn, or we have to read the Word of God until we become the Word of God embodied in flesh by who we are, what we do. You know, do you embody treating others the way that you want to be treated? This is what my son's working on really heavily right now. Our daughter's trying to do this right now, and if we treated her the way she wanted to be treated, we'd just be punching her all the time because she's really struggling with hitting her brother. Her new favorite thing is, no, and then just bangs at something. Half the time, it's Liam. Do you embody the declaration that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life? Do you embody that verse? Do you embody the words of Jesus where he commanded us to go into the world and make disciples of all nations? Do you embody the statement, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Do you want to know if you have a good understanding or an experience of God's truth? Read God's word and you'll find out where you stand. Do you embody the understanding of this verse? Because this verse shows us that no matter how large the stronghold is, it cannot stand up to God's word. No matter what we're coming against in our life, it cannot stand up to God's word. God's word penetrates everything. The words and truth of God is how we are to measure and compare ourselves. Theodore Roosevelt actually said, "The comparison is the thief of joy." And I just, like, whenever I think of that quote, I think of someone like just breaking into my house and not stealing my things, but just stealing like my thoughts. And the things that the promises of God away from me. Have you let something come in and just steal those promises, or where you have forgotten them? Because God's promises, the Bible says that God's joy is new for you every day, and that the world cannot take away that kind of joy unless we allow it to. Comparison will keep you unfulfilled until you get your heart focused on God and not focused on others. See, Lisa Bever talks about this in her book. It's called Without Rival. And she says, we are uniquely made, and God's love for you is unique. God's love for me is different, for his love is for you, because there's uniquely made means one of a kind. I love my wife. She likes to say that she's God's favorite. I think I've said that from the stage a couple times, because she probably is. But we are all one of a kind, which means that God's love for us is all, for each and every one of us, is one of a kind. There's never been someone uniquely molded and created to represent God's love on this earth than you. See, God poured part of his thoughts and his passions and his intentions into you that he did not give to anyone else. Think about that. There are pieces of you and who you are that no one else on this planet has, or ever has, or ever will. You are unique in the image of God. What a powerful image that is. And number two, after we experience God's truth, is that we find out who we are when we declare God's truth. It's really important to experience it. And, young people in the room, it's so important to experience the truth of God, but we have to continue to go beyond that and say, yes, it's an experience we thrive on, but we also have to declare it and speak it out. This is how we find out who we are. And there's a very famous interaction between Jesus and one of his disciples where Jesus asked him a question, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And this disciple responds with this amazing confession of faith, and Jesus then begins to tell him who he is. And I love this because when he declares the truth of God, God shows him who he is. Okay, it's Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18 tells us the story. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." We find out who we are when we have a revelation from God about who he is. See, I don't find out who I am, church, in the presence of people. I find out who I am in the presence of God. That statement is for our young people and the next generation who have people and TikTok and Instagram or social media saying who they are and how you can be it too. Church, young people, you do not find out who you are in the presence of people. You find out who you are in the presence of God and only God. The world in all its knowledge and wisdom does not have the power or the authority, to tell you who you are, who I am. Culture and modern society did not create me, God did. And God is the only being who can tell you who you are. Sometimes I feel like this. Sometimes we need to have like a Lion King moment where we're just like walking in the wilderness and we just like fall on the mountainside because we're so stressed about life. And then our Father in heaven appears in the cloud like Simba, and Mufasa is like, Simba, remember. Do you guys remember that word? Who you are. And then he like fades into the cloud like, remember, remember. And Simba's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And the monkey has to hit him on the head. And he's like, you got to remember who you are. Didn't you hear him? Church, remember who you are. Despite how our experiences have influenced our identity, we must remember at our core who we are. Because experiences are going to shape who you are, but you have to remember that you have to experience the truth and declare that truth to really find out who you are. Simon had his name changed because he was no longer the same person. Jesus says, you're no longer Simon, you're now Peter. He made a declaration of faith in God, and so doing so, he discovered who he truly was meant to be. The name Simon actually means to hear or heard. Okay, so what Jesus is saying, no longer are you Simon, no longer are you someone who hears something, who has heard something, and you're going to be swayed by what you heard. No longer are you going to be Simon who, when you hear something really cool over here, you're going to go, I'm going to go follow that. That sounds really awesome. Or this person over here said something really great. I'm just going to go follow that person. No, he's saying he would now be the rock, the first among many, and the example for all of us who now follow Christ, will build his church on that solid foundation that does not move. Because Peter means rock. We no longer hear something that sounds cool and follow it. The rock is stationary. We embody the rock. Our identity is not up for debate, church. It is not movable. It is established, and it is the foundation for our faith. It does not move. This is because God is the ultimate source of truth, and we have experienced and declare God's truth. We are ready to accept the gift he's given us from the very beginning, and that is his image. We find out who we are when we accept God's image on our life. We have to experience it. We experience it. We talk about it. We're excited about it. Like, this is not my truth. This is the truth, and we accept the image God gave us from the very beginning. And we must not trade away the likeness of God that is living and breathing in all of us today for the likeness of anything else. How often you experience growth and how far you go is not just determined by what you believe about God. It is equally determined about what you believe of yourself, right? Solomon says in the book of Proverbs that as we see ourselves, so we are. He does not say, as God sees us, so we are. But as we see ourselves, so we are. Solomon was saying that we will always believe in such a way that is consistent with how we see ourselves. This means it's possible for there to be some inconsistencies between what God says about you and what you think about yourself. What God is attempting to do on our journey of spiritual growth is to align what we think about ourselves with what he says about us. That is our job. That is why we are here. We may think something about ourselves, but it doesn't line up with what God has said already about us. And this is so that we can behave in a way that aligns with what is true about us and not just what we think about ourselves. The reason why God tells us regularly who we are is because from the very beginning, we have been very bad about understanding who we are. Okay, it's almost obnoxious if you look at God's word from front to back, how many times God declares who we are. And you're just like, why haven't we got it yet? Because we're not very good at the understanding portion. Listen to this. This is just like, he says, we are salt. We are light. We are royal. We are chosen. We are beloved. We are unique. We are more than conquerors. We are children of God, just to name a few. Because if this is who we are, then why does he have to keep telling us that? Because he knows that who I am is the truth, but the truth is not always my experience. So he tells us who we are, but it doesn't become what we experience until we believe it and accept his image for us. And see, mankind has had an identity crisis since the beginning. Since the fall in Genesis 3, we've had an identity crisis. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan began to speak to Eve about what will happen if she eats of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have come full circle talking about how there is knowledge, but we just lack the understanding of that knowledge. And I think it's really crazy that, you know, you would say, like, why was Satan even in the garden? There's this debate I had once when I was younger about, like, why did God even allow Satan to come in? And I would say, like, we came to the conclusion, too, that he was a snake because he was in a garden. And where do snakes try and hide? In a garden. Anytime I've ever found a garter snake, it's been in a garden. And Satan is somewhere he does not belong, technically, but he conceals himself to belong there, and he changes his likeness to try and fool Eve into not accepting her likeness and who she's been made in. If Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 5 says, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And you will be like him is the challenge that the enemy that Satan brought before Eve. But if we look at the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, we see Eve already was like God. Okay, Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. From the very beginning, we have had the imago Dei, the image of God given to us. We have his likeness from the beginning. We have always been like God, different and not God himself, yes, but like him in ways." Satan was tempting Adam and Eve with the knowledge they couldn't understand fully and to become something they already were, like God. And the enemy, church, can't take your worth, but he can convince you to lose sight of it. He can't take your value, but he can take your sight off of the value. He can't take away your gift, but he can take away your grit and your ability to persevere through trials and tribulation. If we want to exit the identity crisis we inherited from Adam and Eve, we must say wholeheartedly to ourselves, "I am who he says I am." If you want to know who you are, if you want to experience it, and you want to believe it, and you want to have that image of God on you, you have to declare, "I am who he says I am." This is what the past few weeks of sermons have all been about, starting from the very beginning of this series. How do we line up our experiences with God's truth? Even when our experiences tell us otherwise, what happens when those don't line up? What happens when we experience things that do not line up with God's word? The word of God is how we experience truth. If you're having experiences that you feel like maybe don't line up with God, you need to get back into the word of God. The word of God is how we experience his truth. It's been given to us. It's sealed. It's good. You can open it up, and you might find some interesting stuff there in Song of Solomon. You might find some interesting stuff in Leviticus, but you can still read it and go, God had a plan, and God was good. It helps us confidently say as one body, one church, one bride of Christ, one creation, "I am who I say you say I am, and that is enough." I think that last part's very important as well, that it's enough to just be who God says you are, and you don't have to try to be anything else. Because it's really easy for us to be swayed or convinced or hear something like Simon. The word Simon means to hear something and go, "That's good, I like that. That makes me feel good," or "That makes me feel value. That makes me feel accepted because of what I'm experiencing right now." But we need to embody Peter that says, "I am not movable." Even though that sounds good, I'm going to read the word of God. I'm going to test it. Even though that sounds great, I'm not going to move. I will not be moved because I am the rock on the foundation of where my faith is built. And that is in my identity and who God says I am. It is time to exit your identity crisis. It is possible to experience the relief of understanding. You can have this understanding that I've talked about all morning, where we lack this. We have tons of knowledge and wisdom and facts, but we don't know how to understand them. It's possible, church, to experience that relief of understanding that you have been made in God's image, that he has a plan for you, plans to prosper you, not to hurt you, give you a hope and a peace that keeps going and going and going, church. But it starts with, are you willing to declare, "I am who he says I am"? That's where we all start. And we start there, and that's also not only our starting line, but it's our finishing line. Because when we get across the finish line and we all want to hear Jesus say the most important words in Scripture, well done, good and faithful servant, you want to cross that finish line still saying, I am who he has said I am, and that has been enough for me. Amen? Amen. Church, I want to pray for us this way this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray again for that surrendered lifestyle that says it's not about what I want or what I think or what I believe I should look like or what I believe I should be or what someone else, our close friend that I trust says I should be or someone else tells me something about myself, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't compare our experiences, our lives, or the truth you've put in us to other people's. Lord God, I pray that we would let you define us. I pray that we would allow you to come and tell us who we are, that we would surrender that choice to you, that it's not ours to make anymore, but it's yours to give to us. It is a gift you've given us. And then, Lord, give us that grit to persevere through the world telling us something else, through someone telling us something about ourselves that doesn't line up with Scripture and what your word says. Give us that grit to say, no, I will stand and I will not be moved. I will be a rock that says, I am set, I am not moving. That I am who God says I am. And I will not allow anyone else or anything else to define that for me. And that might be hard, Lord. I pray that you would empower us, give us strength. Lord, give us what we need to walk through life standing firm on that confession. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.